Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Steve Salmers, Sports Radio 101.9 FM,
The Fan,
and Sports Radio 66, WFAN.
Okay, if only we had something to talk about with Brian Baldinger of the NFL Network and Radio.com, insider with the NFL. Brian, how the hey are you?
Well, I'm doing good. I'm good, Steve. It's, we saw some snow up there at Lambeau Field last weekend. The temperature's dropping. Thanksgiving's around the corner. I'd say we're in the middle of a pretty good football season right now.
Well, of course you're going to say that, but unfortunately, what do we have to talk about now? Nothing seems to be going on.
No, really?
Yeah. Well, give me
something I've never seen in football last night, Steve.
Well, so. None of us. Yeah, really none of us. A young, old, in between.
Yeah.
So now we heard, of course, Myles Garrett. He's out for the rest of this year and the postseason. Do you think he'll be out all of next year as well?
I don't know, Steve. I mean, I have a third floor office at NFL Films, and John Runyon hands out most of the punishment in the NFL. I did not talk to John today, but I'm sure it's being discussed because it's about, you know, it's about the worst single act we've ever seen on a football field before in front of a national audience. So I don't know if six games in the postseason, if the Browns should get there, I don't know if that's enough. I really don't. I don't know how the league is going to look at this, if it's going to die down by the time they get to next season. But if they add on more suspension at the top of next season, I'm not going to be surprised by it.
Do you think the Browns would cut him?
I don't think they'll cut him. I mean, I think he was pretty apologetic. Not that you know, absolves him of any of his wrongdoing and any of his actions at all. I don't think the Browns will cut him. They've got a lot invested in him. I think they will let him serve his punishment, whatever that is, whether it's this year and or parts of next year. And I think they'll, you know, they'll take him back and give him a second chance.
What about the three games for Pouncey?
I thought that was excessive. I thought that was excessive. I mean, he was only reacting to what he saw. And so, I mean, most players will try to protect their quarterback, especially if they're being assaulted. And I think that's all, you know, Marquise was doing, was basically just protecting his quarterback and responding the way anybody would if somebody was being attacked on the street or on a football field. So
I think that's excessive myself.
I was just going to ask you about that.
Do you think if he hadn't kicked, if he threw a punch, it might have been less than three games, say one game. But a lot of us are thinking that the reason it is three games, nobody has an argument with going to the defense of one of your teammates. Nobody has an argument. Most people would do that anywhere, on or off the field. However, the kicking may have made it three games instead of one. Do you go along with that?
Well, I'm sure that was probably it, Steve. I mean, I don't know exactly how they mete out the punishment and all that goes into it. But, you know, when I initially said three games, I mean, I guess you have to take all that into consideration. And that all of it was on public display. I think that's part of the punishment as well, is that, you know, it's not like they can run from it. It's been on a video loop all, you know, all night, all day long. So everybody and every fan has had a chance to look at it. And they've seen just how ugly it all is. You know, it's not... It's a little bit like that basketball incident, you know, with the Indiana Pacers way back when, and it was there for everybody to see over and over and over again. And I think that's a little bit like they have to be forceful about it all the way around. I'm sure that kicking had a lot to do with it, Steve.
In a very sarcastic way, I'm saying that what happened last night that we all saw and all of us are talking about today, good for business, Brian.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it is, Steve. I mean, I understand your point, and I'm not, you know, I could indulge in the same sarcasm. Drawing attention to the game like this, though, I'd rather have the attention drawn to the game by the quarterback matchup between Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson, you know, in Baltimore on Sunday. I think this is, you know, I mean, we saw
what we saw was terrible and horrible, and that you can't say that enough. It doesn't even have to be said at all. And the reason I say this is because, in a way, indirectly, sarcastically speaking, it is good for business. This kind of thing has us all talking today, Brian, about what happened last night instead. And don't think the NFL is happy about this. I think, but again, the NFL is happy in a way that nobody's going to condone, nobody from the NFL, nobody watching the NFL, nobody with their right mind would ever condone what we saw last night. No way, for sure. However, what may be a sigh of relief for the NFL is that we are all talking about what happened last night and not what's going to happen tomorrow with Kaepernick.
Oh, well, you know, that's another story. And I'm still kind of scratching my head. It came out of left field on Tuesday in a way that nobody could have ever seen it coming. And then, you know, all of the people that have sort of poked holes in what it's all about are all in some ways legitimate. I mean, it's just a head scratcher all the way around, including Colin Kaepernick himself. And it just seems like it has been slapped together at a bad time and a bad day when it just doesn't really make much sense all the way around.
Yeah, he was given 3 days' notice, and it's on a Saturday, Brian.
Yeah, I think there are some teams that are genuinely interested. They should be in what he looks like. I mean, nobody has seen him throw a football in 3 years.
You are as bright, as intelligent, as eloquent. I can't believe you say that. Nobody's interested in him, and nobody is going to sign him. There are going to be a number of teams there tomorrow, but you're not going to see one GM, not going to see one head coach. You're not going to see one offensive coordinator. You know who might show up? Sylvia from payroll.
Well, I mean, that's part of my saying that, you know, Saturday's just a bad day. It's a bad day for any kind of this business. So I don't, you know, I think he's going to be represented. But I don't know, Steve. I mean, 3 years have gone by. I don't know that somebody isn't going to give him a chance. They gave Mike Vick a chance, Steve.
I don't think, first of all, nobody's going to take on what they would. See, a lot of teams are going to show up tomorrow or have reps there, but nobody is going to sign him. And I think you know it. I think that he knows it. The NFL knows it. We all know it. This is a publicity stunt. It's a charade to show, hey, wait a minute, we are not involved in collusion. I think this is all part of the collusion lawsuit settlement. And you know, when Chad Henne, when Pat Mahomes' backup, when Chad Henne got hurt, Kansas City, as you know, Brian, they needed a quarterback right away. So what did they do? They called Matt Moore, who retired after 2017, and you know the phone call went something like, hey, Matt, what's going on? Well, I'm an assistant coach of a high school football team. Hey, Matt, would you like to come back and quarterback the Kansas City Chiefs? Okay, sure. Well, we'll see you at practice. Thanks. Goodbye. So here's what I'm saying. There was collusion. You may not be able to admit that, and I'm putting you on the spot, and I have so much respect for you and the way you think, the way you played, that all by itself, and the way you broadcast, the way you think. You're a gem. That's how I describe you, Brian, on and off the air. Bottom line is, you know, there was collusion with him.
Well, I don't know how collusion gets done, Steve, amongst 32 teams. I mean, I really don't know how you do that.
You don't want to take on the baggage.
Well,
you don't want to alienate your fan base. However, teams are caught between a rock and a hard place because
Steve, I mean, is it different than Mike Vick coming out of jail? Is it different, Steve? Because I remember when that ticker went across during a preseason game with the Eagles, and it said that the Eagles had signed Mike Vick, and I thought that the city was going to, you know, have some kind of a collective Harry Carey. Mm-hmm. And there was a tremendous amount of outlash against the Eagles and their fan base about it. And it, you know, Mike Vick came in and ended up starting and playing and going to playoffs, all kinds of stuff, and it eventually died down. I didn't think that anybody would sign Mike Vick.
Well, see, in this case, though, no, I understand what you're saying, of course. I think teams are afraid to attend this thing tomorrow and afraid not to.
I agree with that, Steve. I agree with that.
I read
all the posts about, you know, I mean, boy, we got to be there, but we want to have our logos on our jerseys and our hats and be seen, but we cannot not be seen. You know, I mean, it's politics, Steve. It's, you know, it's caught right in the middle.
Right. Well, anyway, so, all right, and after all, there is more to Week 11. Week 11 getting off to a start like from last night that nobody has seen before. You've played before. You have been at the bottom of piles. You never were to see or do or experience, I'm sure, anything close to what we saw last night. Before we get into Week 11 and a couple of the games, and then I'll let you go. But the bottom line is, you have been there. We haven't. You never came close in any game, did you, Brian, that came close to what we saw last night?
No. No, I remember a pretty good brawl when I was with the Cowboys against the Redskins at RFK Stadium, Steve. And, you know, we left the bench to go, you know, protect. I was a backup lineman at the time. It was early in my career. And, when, you know, there was a pretty good brawl going on out there. Our quarterback was involved. And I left the bench to go help separate, protect certain people. And, you know, I got fined for it. And that's the closest thing. But it wasn't anything like what we witnessed last night. Last night was a street assault. With basically what could be described as a deadly weapon. I mean, you can severely hurt somebody with the strength that Myles Garrett has and hitting somebody on the head like that. I mean, the guy came off a concussion. I mean, that's just a flat-out assault.
Well, sure. We're talking not even worse than a concussion. We're talking serious, although a concussion is, of course, the possibility and is with brain damage. But, I mean, we could have seen so much worse. Do you remember Conrad Dobler?
Yes, I do, of course.
Conrad Dobler, as I remember so many years ago when I was young, he was such a lightning rod because he was the dirtiest player in the world, according to Sports Illustrated. They once had him on the cover. This is so long ago. And was it the St. Louis? He was with the St. Louis Cardinals, correct?
St. Louis Cardinals, yeah.
And and dirty is as dirty could be, correct? Do you remember some of the things he used to bite people?
No, I remember it all. I mean, you know, it was very difficult to document back then. You know, they didn't have, you know, the highlights and the slow mo cameras and all that kind of stuff. You know, it kind of went unnoticed for the most part.
Did he ever bite you?
Well, I played offensive line. I mean, he was. I remember certain guys that he was going up against that, you know, they knew that they were going up against a player that could go well after the whistle, so they were prepared.
So, all right. Now, the big game, I mean, you know, for a Giants fan, Giants fans are happy they're not going to lose this weekend. They have a bye. However, the New York Jets, coming off that win over the New York Football Giants last Sunday, are taking on the hapless Washington Redskins. Give us your take with Haskins starting.
Well, I mean, you know, he's been named the starter. They're not a good team. They're probably the only worst offense right now in the league than the Jets. They're being run by an interim head coach. Their best player doesn't want to play. Trent Williams. You know, I mean, it's just all kinds of problems.
What are they going to do with him? Is he staying or leaving? What's happening?
With Trent Williams?
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't want to play there. He's been, you know, things have been misdiagnosed, and gone on. I don't know what. I mean, they had the trade deadline had come and gone, and they didn't move him when they had an opportunity to move him. I'm sure there was discussions. Probably the compensation wasn't good enough. When he is healthy, Steve, he's as good as there is at that position. There's a lot of teams that were rumored to have been interested, including the Patriots,
who
vastly need an upgrade at left tackle. But I don't know what the future is. I think he's going to wait and see what they do at the coaching position and, you know, if there's any change at the top of the organization with people that he seems to have a real problem with. Mm-hmm.
All right, we're short on time. Let me ask you about two other games, and then I'll let you go for sure. The Patriots and Eagles, who do you like?
I like the Eagles in this game, Steve. I think they just match up well. They're both coming off a bye week. The Eagles have kind of figured out what their identity is, which is a power running game, and they've been good at it. They've got good guys up front. It's not what the Patriots do best. Mm-hmm. And the Eagles' weakness, which has been at their corners and secondary, really isn't a strength of the Patriots right now. And so I like the Eagles at home on Sunday.
MVP, Russell Wilson or Lamar Jackson?
Well, I would say Lamar at this point, Steve, only because when he played against Seattle a few weeks ago, he was the best player on the field. That included Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. When he played the Patriots 2 weeks ago, he was the best player on the field that day. He's basically been the best player on the field for the last 5 weeks, no matter who he played against. And I haven't seen a defense that contained his talent yet.
All right, here's a final word from you on the team that I think is going to win the NFC West, the Seattle Seahawks, and I like Arizona over the 49ers this weekend. Give me your take.
Well, they played a couple weeks ago on a Thursday night. It was a close game. But I like the 49ers. I mean, I think they'll, you know, they'll get George Kittle back, and he's a difference maker, didn't play the other night. You know, they lost in at the very end of overtime. There was a lot of things that could have gone either way. But I'll take the 49ers in this game. I think they're a better overall team.
All right. I can't thank you enough. You're just simply the best. Thanks again for the time you've given us, and take care of yourself.
My pleasure, Steve. I'll talk to you down the road.
You got it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.